You're listening to a podcast from 702.
We're all through this week, and really, if you think about it, for probably the last few years, you'll have heard of all of these horrific stories about our children in schools. On Monday, you heard about the 16-year-old mentally disabled girl who was attacked by a cook at her school on a bus. I mean, she was literally left on the side of the road. Yesterday, that horrific story about a child who was killed after basically being attacked as part of a bullying campaign. There have been so many others through the last few years. Children being stabbed at school. There was the child that took a gun to school. And to my mind, it really speaks to society in crisis. And people involved in this, the teachers, whoever perpetrates the violence, they have agency. They must take responsibility. But for me, it suggests that we're a society in crisis. And that's being reflected in the one place where we all gather, which is our children in schools. And that's why we see it coming like that. I mean, other people have a different view. But Matanzima Mweli is the Director General at the Department of Basic Education on the line from Tshwane. DG, good morning. Thank you for your time.
Good morning, Stephen. Thank you for having me on your show.
Why do you believe that we have so many of these issues coming through in our schools? What do you think is happening?
Well, your analysis is spot on. You know, I don't think you need much any contribution from my side. Remember that schools are not only incubators of future citizenry, but schools are also microcosm of civil society. Schools are social institutions. They reflect values that we aspire. They reflect, various developments in civil society. And I definitely cannot agree more with you to say what we see in schools today, it's clearly a reflection of our society. And I think I wouldn't really analyze it better than the way you've done it.
So what are you then able to do to keep our children safe? I mean, you know, in some countries, I mean, we haven't done it here, but in some countries you have children who go through metal detectors to make sure they aren't carrying guns. We don't have that here. I mean, we might have it in the Western Cape at some point because of gangsterism there, but we don't have it in Gauteng. When you, as the Director General, think, okay, we need to keep children safe in schools, where do you start? And I suppose you have to start with the teachers.
Well, the first thing is that we've looked at our policy environment and legislative framework in the Council of Education Ministers, which said last week the minister reported on Friday to the nation as to the nature of the discussions that took place there. We do believe that the legislative and the policy environment is still sound. CEM also approved a protocol on corporal punishment just to try and make teachers aware again of the dangers of corporal punishment. And Stephen, just to also take this opportunity to emphasize the point that corporal punishment is not only prohibited in schools. The constitution of the country doesn't allow it to be administered anywhere. Section 12, international law prohibits the administration of corporal punishment anywhere in the world. But what we've tried to do is to talk broadly to parents, to say parents have a very important role to play. And what we are picking up is that some of these developments around ill discipline and so on stem from the fact that parents are no longer playing the important role that they are expected to play. And that's very important.
So they just know. Sorry, DG. So, are they literally, you know, saying, here, you bring up the children, you're the school, it's your responsibility. They literally leave them at the school every day, or in many cases, they obviously walk there themselves.
You're so right. We mostly see them when they come to register these children. Beyond that, you hardly see them. They very few of them would attend parents' meetings. Very few of them would even respond to requests from schools to come and help them to discipline or to deal with incidents of ill discipline. That is schools that are running well, where there's discipline and so on. It correlates with parental involvement, and that's very, very important to us.
there's a huge sort of, I mean, I'd say a class issue here in that if you go to, say, the northern suburbs of Joburg, the richer areas, the richer schools, I mean, the parents have more time. It is as simple as that. If you live in Soweto, your child is maybe spending a lot of time commuting, but so are you. As a parent, you're actually not able to spend that time.
That's very true. Parents got absorbed in other activities of life. It could be if you are a working class, I mean, you don't have, you know, that luxury to, so to speak, you know, to have time at your disposal to respond to requests that are made by schools. And at times you can't even attend parents' meeting because you leave early and come late. But we are saying that schools have become flexible. We're looking at, you know, holding parents' meetings, calling parents even during weekends. And we think that there are ways that parents can try really to make time to work with schools in bringing up our children. Schooling is part of the upbringing of these young people who are prepared to be future citizenry of the country and even of the world.
There is a duty on you, though, Director General. I mean, I'm sure you'll agree about the teachers you employ. And I realize that it's politically contested space. There's the South African Democratic Teachers Union. But so often teachers are also abusing learners. Now, the teachers also come from places in society. There's that awful case in Kuruman where learners had fallen pregnant by teachers. Are you able to act against teachers as quickly and should I say, as forcefully as you need to? Or do you find the politics gets in the way?
Well, Stephen, that is a board. Whether from political parties or from members of civil society or as an official of government, that cannot be allowed. And I'm extremely pleased with the way the Northern Cape Education Department acted on these teachers who really abused our learners beyond, you know, any explanation that I can give. And getting the MEC leading the charge against these teachers. And to me, it sent a very clear and strong message that it cannot be allowed. And the MEC was very clear that the two processes are distinct. Disciplinary action is an internal matter. There is a civil matter as well from a criminal point of view. And therefore, they are going to institute disciplinary measures, and teachers got suspended immediately. And all that I can say is that if we could see more of that from all our officials, from all our political office bearers, I think we will be able to really stop this from happening.
Matanzima Mweli, sir, thank you for your time. Really do appreciate it. Director General at the Department of Basic Education. In a moment, we're going to continue this conversation. An educational psychologist you'll hear from, Dr. Smangalele Mayesela. A question I'm going to put to him is, have smartphones and cell phones actually made things in the classroom worse and harder for learners? Now, let's continue the conversation around education. You heard from the Basic Education Director General, Matanzima Mweli, just a few moments ago. He was suggesting that parents aren't necessarily playing their role for various reasons, talking about how society is reflected in education. But I want to talk about cell phones and their impact on education and schools as well. And Dr. Smangele Mayesela is an educational psychologist on the line from Durban. Dr. Mayesela, good morning.
Good morning, Stephen, and good morning, 702 listeners.
Thanks so much for your time. I mean, one of the issues in education now is smartphones. When you and I were growing up, they didn't exist. Life somehow seemed easier to be a teenager then than it is now.
Yes, it's true. Life has become very complicated and sophisticated, and we are gradually realizing that our children and our communities are in crisis, as in there are imbalances around the knowledge and the education level of some of our parents and the children that are being exposed to good education, better education than they've been previously exposed. And more so now with the new gadgets, the cell phones, whereby parents, some of the parents cannot manipulate these gadgets and they do not understand how they function. While these gadgets, not only parents, even teachers, while these gadgets are very important for learning, because children, they can access information, they can access knowledge, they develop certain aspects of their brain development while manipulating them. Also, there are other issues that are very concerning about the material and the information that they can access with these gadgets. And but now we are seeing a new thing whereby information as in what is actually happening in the classroom is being exposed by these learners. And it shows that these gadgets, they are a source of agency. They are giving agency to children who are helpless in the classroom and who seem their rights and their lives are being violated in the hands of those whom we should trust, whom we have entrusted their lives to, who are the teachers. So now it's time for teachers to realize that children, to a certain extent, they are gradually gaining agency as in what they can do about the situation in which they find themselves. The good example is the bus story, as well as the classroom story, where you see teachers beating children in the classroom.
And Dr. Maisela, I'm sorry to interrupt you. Dr. Maisela, as a parent, I mean, how can you protect your child? So you're not going to be with your child all day. How can you make your child, I suppose, almost bulletproof? I mean, to two big things. The one is bullying, but the other is also dealing with a possibly abusive teacher. How can you prepare your child for that?
That is very, very important. As parents, I think parents at the moment, they are feeling very anxious about their children being taken to schools and not knowing what would happen to their children. The key here is the need for parent involvement, not only parent involvement. The community as a whole has to be involved in the education of the children. It's becoming more and more clearer that teachers are not coping with the level of education, some of the teachers, which is inadequate, not understanding child development, not even understanding the development of children who are experiencing challenges like disabilities. And some of the elderly, of the people who are taking care of the children, like the drivers of our children who are being transported from schools to homes, the drivers do not understand. And those parents who would find themselves in the bus taking care of the children, they do not understand. First of all, they don't understand issues of Children's Act, how to protect children, how children are, first of all, protected by the law. And secondly, they don't even understand how children function, how children express their emotional issues, as in they understand that as a misbehavior, and it's a misbehavior that needs to be dealt with through violence. So parents need to be involved. The whole society needs to be involved. Business needs to come in and join hands with the parents, with the whole society, as in business can actually release parents. It can organize things like one day for a parent at work. So if you are an employer, you can say every employee should be given a day to go to school, to spend a day at school, and schools can work collaboratively.
Dr. Smangele Maisela, thank you. So many interesting suggestions coming from her. Really do appreciate it. An educational psychologist.